So I'm like, I'm waiting one Sunday where I'll come in and hear and say, hey, we can do better than that for the kids, right? So we can do better than that for the kids. Yeah, send it off with a blessing. So we are doing the Walking Dead series, and today we want to talk about the resurrection in the Walking Dead series. I don't know about you, but I spent last night praying for a lady and a family because she's going to die. She is in her last stage of her life. She's going to pass on. We don't know when. I was thinking maybe she passed last night. I haven't connected with the family. So I was having dinner with Dr. Hoyt, and then I went there to pray for the lady. And there was somebody sitting there in the room. After I prayed, she came up and said, thank you for that prayer of hope and future. I was also listening to a story of one of my son. And as he was telling the story, he was almost in tears. Because one of his friends is having a difficult time. He has tried to take his life by taking drugs. And he has cut himself because he cannot endure the pain and the struggles and stresses of life for this young boy. I was sitting down with a couple that I have met before. The couple has a cross-cultural marriage, and they have come to me for hope and encouragement. And my heart was with them, and I'm glad that I was with them. I was listening to a story of a member who is praying for a family, because they have a sickness in the family. A child has a sickness for a long time, and they're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow and how they're going to live tomorrow, where the food will come, where the expenses will come. I had a call from a church member. When I was telling that, I sat down with a missionary that has been working by faith and living by faith month by month, and at times there was no food to eat, and they relied on the Lord. And one time they shared to me that when they got up in the morning, there was a rice bag right in front of their door because they didn't know where the food was going to come for the next day. And she called me and said, Pastor, if something like that happened, it doesn't mean I have a lot of money in my life, but if something happened like that, can you please let me know? I want to share from my food budget of a month and give to somebody. Been praying people with sickness and illness. That's what I've been dealing with every day of the week. How was your day? How was your morning when you how was your morning after the day of election? Our Christian life is not dependent on a single event in a country or in another country. Our Christian life and daily walking is not dependent on when you woke up, whether the sun was shining or it was raining or it was cloudy. A Christian life is a calling to live out what God has called and purposed for you daily. Daily. It's not dependent on the circumstances. It's not dependent on the person. It's not dependent on your preferences. The poor are still hungry. The homeless are still homeless. The sick are still looking for help. The rich people are still looking for an answer. Young people are still lost. Summer has gone. Spring has gone. Fall has gone. A lot of people are still not saved. How was your morning after an election? We may know God and the power of His resurrection. By what? By dying with Christ, living in the resurrection of Christ, and walking in new life That's how we know the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God raised Jesus from the dead so we can walk in the newness of life. Walking dead. Walking dead is so popular because it's a moment-to-moment survival at the backdrop of the personal struggle, because you don't want to become an undead. Because when the undead bites you or eats you, you become undead. But it's the danger is not the undead. It's the actual live people that have become walking dead. The danger from the undead and from the danger that people are alive, from the Savior's group, from the hilltop, you know, governor's group, fighting one another and trying to survive in Atlanta. Because resurrection is set against the backdrop of our struggle and survival. People have walked in here with a survival mode this morning. People have walked in here with a struggle mode, challenging mode. What is at the backdrop of this survival moment to moment, my friends? It's the resurrection. The power of the resurrection, that I may know God and the power of His resurrection. What does it look like? Santa Clara First Baptist Church, what does it look like? You, to those who follow the Walking Dead series, you know, it's very interesting if you carefully pay attention, because in Father Gabriel's church, this is in episode, season 5, episode 2, if you look at it carefully, see, when I grew up in a church where sometimes they used to have a signboard on both sides. They'll say hymn number 169, attendance 125. Have you seen those? Yeah. You saw that in Father Gabriel's church. And this is what you see if I magnify it a little bit. You see, oh, I don't know, it's too dark, but there is a scripture verse there. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Right? Romans chapter 6, verse 4. There is also another verse that you will see. Revelations chapter 9, verse 6. So I say, okay, what's going on here? Let me go to the scripture and see what's going on here. And in Revelation, it says here, in those days, man will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The Walking Dead series is based on the post-apocalypse. In Revelation 9, there will come a time when people want to die and they can't die. The undead looks like that. You know, the undead looks like that. Here, it may be a little clearer here. Romans 6, verse 4. Then I went to Romans 6, verse 4 from the series, and I read, okay, what is Romans 6, verse 4? It says, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we should also walk in the newness of life. Epic! That's epic, right? In one of the most popular show, when people are thinking this is a zombie apocalyptic show, there is a hidden message, a secret message is from Romans 6 verse 4. So this week, one of the members that I know was talking about her biracial granddaughter. And she's very excited that Donald Trump is elected as the president. And it's been going back and forth. I've been, you know, the messages. But 2 days later, she wrote, I was having a conversation with my biracial granddaughter in the car. And I realized I know nothing about the experience of being a biracial kid. This biracial kid came to my office one time with the grandmother because she had given her life to Christ and she wants to get baptized. So I turned to the Bible in Romans chapter 6 verse 4 and I said, hey girl, if you want to get baptized, do you know when I put into the water, it symbolizes that you're buried with Jesus. How many days Jesus was buried? 3 days, yes. And when I raise you from the water, it symbolizes that you're resurrected with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what she said? She looked at me. She looked at the grandmother. She looked at me. She looked at the grandmother. And what did she say? Wow. Where is your wow factor of following the Lord? I want to see the wow factor. Where's the wow factor? The past 3, 4, 5 days. Where is the wow factor of your baptism? That you have been buried with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 days. That he was raised on the 3rd day. That death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. The glory of the Father and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection power of God dwells in us. Dwells in us, my friends. It dwells in you. Where is the wow factor? Where was the resurrecting power yesterday, day before yesterday? This week, past week, where was it? That a biracial kid could look into my face and say, wow, I want to follow the God that you follow. Charles Finney, I admired him greatly in my early 20s. I read him. He was a great evangelist of America, and he was the evangelist during the Second Awakening in the 1830s. Millions of people came to the church in America because of him. The millennial period in American Christian history started with him, Charles Finney. And when this revival, the Great Awakening, was happening around 1834, 1835, around that time, Alexis de Tocqueville, that political writer from France who was part of the French Revolution, he came to America because he wanted to know why America was so great. And it's written in the Democracy of America after he returned back. And do you know what he wrote about you? What he wrote about you and I and this country? He said, I was looking for the greatness in the ample mountain, the fountain, the grandest thing of America. I was looking in their political system. He was looking everywhere else. Then he said, not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpit aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. I wonder what the pastors are doing in every pulpit in America today. Because in the past months and year, what I have seen is pastors have become politicians. Pastors have they have pushed their preferences on the pulpit. And the irony is the politicians become pastors and they're calling for Jesus in the White House. I'm so confused. I am so confused, totally confused. D.L. Moody, great preacher, evangelist, he said the best way to revive the church is to build a fire in the pulpit. We got to build a gracious, loving, generous, holy fire here. The greatness of America lies in the goodness of the people. Now we talk about the Walking Dead series, and last Sunday I talked to you in our anniversary, 1 year anniversary Sunday this month. I say when I first came here, somebody said, "Hey, Carlos, come and help me." You remember that? Yes. So and then I met him again, and he said, "You're still here, right?" So it's a good progression here. So when we have a staff meeting, it came up in our conversation, we're going to have a life group, a Spanish life group, a Spanish learning speaking life group. And our quick witted worship leader said that, okay, now Carlos can learn Spanish. But I told you that the Walking Dead series is so popular because of the diversity. People represented of all race in that show, in that drama, right? But there is a conversation. So some of you still haven't got over that Glenn was killed, okay? That Glenn was killed with a baseball bat. His head was splattered and it was just gruesome. And the blood was just going everywhere, right? You saw that, how he was killed in front of his wife. Because Daryl made a mistake and Glenn was killed because of Daryl's mistake. He punched Negan, okay? So Glenn was sacrificed for Daryl's mistake. I remember the conversation of Daryl and Glenn in one of different episodes. He was talking about the bravery of Glenn, who doesn't kill people, and they were trying to survive and fight. In one conversation, he talked about the bravery of Glenn in the language that I cannot use here. Okay, he described his bravery. And for a Chinaman, that's what he said, for a Chinaman, you are brave, but the language I can't use here. And Glenn looked at Daryl and said, but I'm not a Chinaman, I'm a Korean. Right? And Daryl said, whatever. So I, Carlos, who is not a Hispanic, who is not a Chinaman, who is not a Korean or a Filipino, Daryl just changed my status into whatever in a second. I'm a whatever now. But whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to glorify God. I am that whatever. I want you to be that whatever. Because the greatness of America lies in the goodness of the people. On Thursday, it was on Friday, one of our church members wrote to me and my wife and said, I don't have your phone numbers, but their pastor and Margaret, right? And he said, both of you are in the vision of America I have. As long as we are good like that, this country will continue to be great. I know you're good people. Your goodness would be greater than the mistakes of other people. And as long as we're good like this in our heart, as long as we teach righteousness, to do right thing, to be right with people, right with God, as long as we do that here in our church, we can still have a great nation. He didn't have to write that to us, to me and my wife as pastors of this church. But he did it anyway, because there was goodness in his heart. We are at best when we love our neighbors. We are at best when we love our enemies. We are at best when we take care of the widows and orphans. We are at best when we love one another. Do you not know that as many of you were raised, baptized into Christ, Jesus was baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into his death. Dying with Christ is finding life. Imagine, church, if you defend Jesus unashamed daily, just as you defend your candidate unashamed daily, just imagine what would happen to the church. You have defended your candidates unashamed daily, in person, in social media, in emails. You have, not just one day, not just one week, not just one month. Oh, since the primaries and even before, you have defended your candidate daily, unashamed. How about defending our Lord Jesus Christ daily, unashamed? What could happen to our church and this community and this city? If For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Dying with Christ is finding life. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should also walk in the newness of life. Finding your life in Christ is walking with Christ. For if we have been united in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Dying with Christ is living with Christ. Go back to the Old Testament about God protecting his people, giving salvation and new life. It didn't just start with coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was there in the New Testament. Have you heard of the city of refuge? There were 6 cities of refuge. And these cities of refuge were not just for innocent people, for weak people, for Gentiles. No, it was for people that have killed people accidentally. Because they would be stoned to death. But murderers that have murdered people accidentally, God provided for them a safe place. 6 cities. Kadesh is righteousness. You are clean. In the city Shechem, it means shoulder. I care for you. Hebron means association. It means fellowship. You are not alone. And in Bezer, it's fortress. You are safe. In Ramoth, exalted, I am your God. And in Golan, joy, you are my people. These are the 6 cities with the meaning. Yeah, this was the 6 cities that when people have murdered somebody by mistake, by accident, they could run to the city and find a refuge. Even murderers could find refuge in these cities. I am standing here as your pastor, Santa Clara First Baptist Church. Our vision, as you all know, is connecting like real people to real God to experience real love. And we are a house of prayer for all nations and of all nations. In this place is a safe place for people of all nations to run to. If you didn't hear it again, I'm going to say it again. Santa Clara First Baptist Church is a house of prayer for all people, of all people from all nations. And the door is wide open for people of all nations. I'm so proud of you guys right now. I didn't ask you to clap your hand. You did it on your own. And I was expecting that you will do that. You made me proud to be your pastor. Because it just showed who you are. It just showed who you are. And as long as we have people like that in this church, this nation will be great, because here is the sanctuary for the oppressed and those in chain. Here is the refuge for the weak and poor. Here is the place for widows and orphans. Here's the place for religious leaders to find the truth. Here's the place for the rich who are looking for more. Here's a place for the lost to experience the resurrecting life of Jesus Christ. There are many people sitting here in our church that share the same experience that touched me and my wife. Say, both of you are in the vision of America that I have. But all of you are in the vision of God's kingdom and God's heaven. All of you are in the vision of heaven that God has prepared. I want you to keep your feet on earth and focus your eyes on the Lord Jesus, because the poor are still hungry. The homeless still needs help. The sick still needs help. People are still looking for answer. Young people are still cutting themselves to release from pain. Drug addicts are dying. This winter is a matter of life and death for many people. It may not be for you, but for some, winter is life and death. People are going to freeze to death this winter. That's what has been on my mind every day of the week. How was your morning after election? So, if you feel that Santa Clara First Baptist Church can be like one of the city of refuge, where people that makes mistakes, where people that feel weak, and they can run to and find hope and shelter. I want to make that challenge as a very symbolic challenge here. So we have a youth group that is very diverse, and I'm going to challenge to the youth that if any youth can run to this place and find safety, encouragement, and hope from you, I would like you to be a symbolic response. Can one of the youth mentor come up here and say, yeah, they can trust me. They can find hope in me. I will be there for any youth, people of any color or any orientation. If that is how you feel, can I have one of the youth mentor come and stand here with me? It can be two or more. You feel the challenge. Yes. Yeah. Young people, if you're not unsure about things and stuff that are happening in school, at home, and you're confused, I want you to run to them. They have come here to say, I am your refuge. I can be a city of refuge. What about people that work with children? The children are not here, but to show to the parents that we will treat every children equally, that they are created in the image of God, regardless of where they come from, regardless of colors, class, wherever they came from. I will bring your children up that they are wonderfully and fearfully created in the image of God. Can somebody come and stand for the children like that? Yes. So the children will know, people will know that we care for the children. How about the women in the church? We got thriving women ministry. We are very multinational women ministry going on here. And say, you know, some women will be maybe afraid this morning, but you can run to me. I will be there for you. I will fellowship with you. I will Hebron with you. I will be your Golan. I will be your Besser, your fortress. Can some women come up here just to show the support? What about men? What about men? The men in the church to say, I will be your shoulder. I will be your strong. I will be your Shechem. I'll be your strong shoulder to lean on. And you can run to me when you're in doubt or afraid or fearful. You can run to me. Is there any man in this church that would like to represent that? Dr. Hoyt, when you go to our region, when you travel around the country, when you travel outside the country and go to many churches, you tell them that in Santa Clara are good people that will stand for the youth, for the children, for the women and men in this country that are afraid, scared, hopeless. This is who we are. Aren't you proud of our church? That we welcome, honor, respect people from all over the world. Yes, yes. Let us go out with our health high. And if there are anybody looking for a church, you tell them, this is who we are. We are this kind of church. Let's send a strong message out there that we are people of hope, people of faith, and people of love. Amen. Amen. So, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's have the worship team come up and stand together as they go down and end this with a celebration of worship this morning. We love you all and thank you for coming to this church. And may God grant you peace and send you out with hope this morning.